Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another presentation of 4G20's campaign, Thrones. I am your host, Hunter, once again joined by my best friend, Zach, and my brother, Parker. And we are so very thankful for you guys for being here, today. It's been a long time, at least from our perspective. You guys have probably been having some regular uploads that we've had saved on the back end, but it's been a minute for us. So forgive me if there's a little bit of rust. There's already, you can tell, there's been a lot going on behind the scenes. So we're just excited to get this ball rolling. To give you a brief sort of overview or review of what happened last time, Daedalus, House, or Hathron finally made their way to the Tower of Storms, where the orc tribe they've been hunting down slowly and picking apart has made their sort of home base, their base of operations, their fort, after a plan from Hathron to sneak them in using Daedalus and Alistair's makeshift slaves. They made their way inside, made their way to the throne room, where ultimately Hathron cast down the gauntlet with the leader of the orcs, and a fight ensued. The three of them, our heroes, Hathron, Daedalus, and Alistair, took part in a vicious fight with the honor guard and the chieftain himself. The chieftain was thrown 30 feet, 40 feet out the top of the lighthouse, down just careening to the rocks below. The rest of the honor guard were slaughtered, and what remaining warriors were dealt with shortly thereafter. There was a conflict, however, within the party. When it came time to make good on their oaths to Hathron, Daedalus and Alistair were not willing to kill the orcish women and the elderly and the children. Another gauntlet was cast. An oath was broken. And words that were exchanged quickly turned into fists being thrown. Alistair and Hathron got into it. And shortly thereafter, Daedalus jumped in, and the three of them ensued in an epic melee, which ended with Daedalus and Hathron casting each other 50, 60, 70 feet down from the Tower of Storms to the crappy, rock-ridden waters below. They went tumbling and have fallen completely out of Alistair's sight. He is alone here in the castle courtyard. And so we'll pick up there. Alistair, the last thing you did was scream out for Daedalus. You're looking over the edge down to the rocks below. You see the waves crashing up against the base of the Tower of Storms, the cliffside. You see nothing. You see no signs of Hathron. You see no signs of Daedalus. They are gone. What do you do?
Alistair is going to look around on the cliffside, maybe see if there's any blood spatter. Maybe somebody had some blunt force trauma. Maybe a little bit of blood spread anywhere. Maybe if he can even see a silhouette in the water deep below.
Roll me a perception check.
10.
From what you can tell, you can see sort of these pitted marks, and there's some rocks still tumbling from where the two of them had made impacts along the way. You can clearly tell a few chunks of rocks were missing where the two of them were careening. It's impossible to tell who made contact with what rock, but you can see a clear path where the two of them didn't just fall straight down the water. They were tumbling down this sort of craggy cliffside, just bouncing off of everything. Bones have definitely been broken and armor has been shattered, but you see no signs of them still.
Okay. So I think the next thing Alistair is going to do is he has a little item in his inventory that he has in his pocket that I believe Daedalus has the opposite of. It is a sending stone. Mm-hmm. He's going to put up the sending stone to his mouth. You can hear, well, if Daedalus were to hear this message, he would hear heavy breathing. Daedalus, please tell me you're alive. Please. And he's like looking to the left, to the right. He can't see them, either of them, in sight, and he's starting to have a bit of an anxiety attack.
As you frantically call out for Daedalus via the sending stone. You wait for an answer. A moment goes by. Another moment. And the realization hits you that either your message was not heard or Daedalus is unable to answer.
Okay. Alistair's going to put the sending stone back in his pocket and quickly turn around. He is going to attempt to go outside to see if he can find perhaps a less steep way down to try to go look for them both.
Okay. As you make your way down from where the fight between you, Hathron, and Daedalus ensued, you make your way down to the proper sort of gateway down to the greater courtyard. As you make your way down there, the only path that's really available to get down to the water would mean taking the original walkway that you took to get in, and you would have to go up the shoreline, basically.
Okay.
But as you walk out to the courtyard and you see signs of the people having left, you see people have left their bags, their tents, everything. All those people that you manage, or orcs people, they are people. Have to remember that sometimes because, you know, as Daedalus, it's a different mentality. But you see that they have left everything. I mean, they've hightailed it out of there. You saved them, but they took nothing with them. You see the bodies of a few of the soldiers. And as you're looking around, you hear a voice call out to you. You! You turn and you see the beaten and bloodied body of the orc chieftain that you thought died in the lighthouse, that I believe it was Hathoron kicked out the great window behind his makeshift throne. You can see he is a bloodied mess. He's not looking great, but he is very angry. And he has only one of his axes, but he still has a very sharp-looking axe in his hand. One arm covering his ribs. He points at you with the hand with the axe. You killed them. All of them. My men. My warriors. Why? Why come here and do this?
Alistair, slowly, as he's also a bloody mess from the combat that had ensued prior, pulls out his sun-touched rapier, holding it with one hand. Because I made a pact with the one you call the Orcbane, and I am a man of my word. However, he violated our agreement. He sought to hurt the women and children here, and I sought to spare them because they are not warriors. Therefore, they are not able to fight in this war between him and your people.
Where are they?
I helped them escape.
And the orc Bane.
He flew.
Where?
Flung himself off the cliff with my friend Daedalus, the Dragonborn. And I'm going to find them. And I certainly hope you're not going to stand in my way.
You see him squint. And he looks at you. Roll me a persuasion check.
Dirty 20.
Ooh.
He looks at you, and he scans you up and down. I would very much like to find the Orc Bane and kill him. And I very much would like to kill you. But with my warriors dead, the women and children have no protection. I hope you find their corpses, he says as he turns around and he heads down the pathway. A light jog. He seems to be searching for them already. And he leaves you there. And you manage to avoid having to face down the chieftain alone. You see him as he kind of trails off in the distance. You give him some time to get ahead of you. You don't want to invoke any sort of negative feelings that may still be there. As you stand there, kind of thinking to yourself what to do next, what could possibly have happened to the two of them, let alone just Atheron or just Daedalus. They both could be dead. You could be alone. You get this feeling, something that you felt back when you fought the Thunderborn with Daedalus and Atheron. A eerie, cold sort of breath on the back of your neck. The wind begins to change. It goes from a very strong gust to completely dead still. It gets extremely cold around you. You begin to notice as your breath begins to sort of turn into a fog as it leaves your body. Roll me a perception check.
8.
8. So with an 8, you look around for the source of what could be causing this, and this feeling of dread begins to consume. You begin to understand that without Daedalus and without Atheron here, something that you've been trying to hide, something that you've been trying to avoid, finally has you alone. After all this time, you've avoided it. But now, someone has come, and they have come to take their dues from you. Alistair, you watch as the gate in front of you, you see it's still open. You make your way over there. You begin to panic, and you get the sense of, I need to get the fuck out of here as fast as possible. I need to find Daedalus. I need to find Atheron. I need to get out of here. I know what's to come. You start running towards the gate, and immediately the gate seals itself shut. A strong gust of wind sucks towards the gates, pulls it right through, and you see it seals shut. You run up to it, and you shake at it, and you can't get it to open. You realize you only really have two options now. Cast yourself from this courtyard to the rocks below, just like Daedalus and Atheron, or face the secret that you've been hiding for so long. The thing you've been running from.
Alistair, in this moment, after shaking the fence, is still wielding his rapier in his right hand as he squeezes it tightly to the point where his knuckles and nails turn white. His arm even getting slightly sore from the fact that he's gripping it so tightly. He decides in this moment, sometimes in life, you can only run away from your demons for so long that sometimes you need to turn around and look them in the eye. And that's exactly what Alistair is going to do.
Very well. Alistair, as you await what is to come, you see the greater doors into the makeshift fort of the Tower of Storms. You see them begin to slowly creak open. And as they begin to creak open, you see this eerie, cold fog, this icy blue mist begin to sort of envelop the courtyard in front of it. The ground turns to ice. You see this frost that comes barreling forth, turning the stones into this sort of glass surface to the top of it, coating the area around you. Even the area beneath your feet is now frozen solid. And stepping out from the sort of silhouetted darkness of this doorway is a eerie blue sort of anthropodic-like creature with glowing amber eyes. You see these bulging fly-like eyeballs, amber in shape, many different reflections coming off of each of the eyeballs, these large sort of blue mandibles that come out, and smaller, more jittery mandibles line the inner mouth work of this, the head of this creature. You see it wears this sort of dark cloak over its head to conceal the rest of its body. You can tell, though, that it definitely has multiple sets of arms. We're talking about probably six sets of arms. You can see kind of each set, or each arm, moving independently, doing its own thing. And you can see, stepping out, the being that made the pact with you. The being that put you in the circumstances that you're in the first place. Stepping forth from the shadows is Shivarat. His voice emanating from within, you can hear it in your mind. He looks at you in a curious tilt of his head. My, Alistair. You've come a long way from home, haven't you?
No thanks to you, Shivarat.
Yes, you've been very busy, he says. He looks around, you see him take a look to the left, to the right. But you are alone. Your companions are gone. You think them dead.
Alistair squints his eye and looks at him. They're alive. I believe it to be true.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see. For now, there are things we need to discuss. And with that, we're going to transition. Hatheron, you're falling 5 feet, 10 feet, you hit a rock, 15 feet, you bounce 5-10 feet out, falling for free fall for a good 2-3 seconds, falling 30 feet, hitting another rock before bouncing and finally hitting the water. Bones have broken. You can feel the entire right side of your rib cage is completely busted. You don't know if it's shattered, broken, fractures. All you know is pain on that side. It's hard to even breathe. You hit the water, and the chill of its embrace shocks your system. Your eyes widen, and you realize water has already begun to get into your lungs. You struggling to breathe. I need you to roll me a athletics or a survival check.
Fourteen.
Your center of gravity is completely thrown off. You have no semblance of what is up, what is down, where you are even at. You know you're in the water, that you and the Dragonborn went tumbling. You feel the chill of the water, and you just decide to swim in a direction, whatever direction feels natural, and thankfully you choose the right direction. You swim upwards. Immediately, the chill of the water is broken by the clean air of the surface. You break the water. You look around. What do you do?
I guess I'll look around, see if I see Daedalus anywhere, like on shore. Maybe he got caught on a rock or something. Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's in the water.
All right, go ahead and roll me a perception check now.
13 flat.
As you begin to look to your left, to your right, you look at the cliffside, and you see the sort of path the two of you took. You can see rocks still tumbling around you, careening into the water. They're not large. It's just sort of a small, you know, I don't want to even say avalanche, but a cascade of some rocks from the impacts of the two of you on the way down. You can see broken pieces of armor from Daedalus that snapped off on the way down. And as you look, you see just beneath the edge of the cliffside, you can see a gleam in the water. You dunk your head under the water for a second. You can see Daedalus is basically in free fall. He's sinking. He's still covered in plate armor, and he looks to be unconscious. He's not moving. He's sinking rapidly to the bottom. What do you do, Hathron?
Hathron's gonna look at Daedalus, and physically, Hathron wants to leave. He wants to swim away from him and just go about his business. But something in his heart or his mind is almost pulling on him to go save Daedalus. So he's going to take as big of a breath as he can and make a beeline for him and try to go save him.
All right, roll me another athletics check, my brother.
Oh.
You feel this compulsion, this inward feeling of action. And you get this reminder, this sort of projection, not necessarily of words or thought, but of a moment. The last time you and Daedalus spoke to one another after a traumatic event, in a way, after the fight with the Thunderbore, you remember Daedalus's words. Remember, it was I who charged up that hill to save you, not the other way around. And you hear that sort of, you not hear that, you remember that moment. And this feeling of, it's a mixture of disgust that you would even want to save him, and a feeling of being bound to do so, in a way. And with a breath, you charge forth in the water, batting the water out of your way. As you take a deep breath, get underneath, and you swim to Daedalus. You manage to reach him. He's probably sunken about 15 feet deep at this point. I need you to roll me a strength check to get back to the surface, please.
22.
So with one arm, you grab onto Daedalus, and you just kind of swing around him by his, you kind of like cradle him by his neck, and you just kind of swim towards the surface. You're just dragging him with you, because it's not about comfort, it's about saving his life at this point. You're just trying to get him to the fucking surface. You get up there, and you begin to realize, oh shit. Yeah, he's not only unconscious, but yeah, he's heavy as hell, covered in plate mail, and we're in the middle of the fucking water, and I need to get to the shoreline. So, you have a choice. You can try to get this armor off of Daedalus and make it easier for you to get him to shore, and the checks will be easier. You have to make one harder check to get this shit off of him, and then it'll be easy checks to the end to get there, or you can just do sort of medium checks all the way there, strength check-wise.
I'm going to thug it out.
You're going to thug it out. All right. Give me 1 second. All right. So, go ahead and roll me. You're going to need to roll me 3 strength checks. I need you to roll them one at a time, though. The check will get harder just because of general endurance. You're swimming probably half a mile to the shore at this point. You're carrying a 200-plus pound dragonborn, and he's covered in plate mail as well.
Mm-hmm. You said strength check?
Si, senor.
Suboptimal.
You succeed.
Sweet.
Give me another one, though. It won't be easy. It's going to get harder, but you succeed that one. Oh.
I think I did it.
Well. You're suddenly blessed by the... what's the name of the water goddess? They call her the bitch queen. What's her name?
Umberly?
God, what is it? Huh?
Umberly.
Umberly. Yeah, you feel as though the goddess Umberly herself casts the tides at your back and carries you to the shoreline. In moments, you are, with the speed of Mercury, you make your way to the shoreline. As you get to the shore, Hathron, you see Daedalus is breathing. He's alive. But he's definitely unconscious. You begin to assess yourself and your own injuries, and you begin to realize you're not quite at death's door, but you're not very comfortable at all. You are bloodied, and there are definitely broken bones that need to be mended and set, potentially. What would you like to do?
I am going to see if there's materials for me to make a fire, because that water was cold.
Yes, it was. Very good thinking. So, with advantage, roll me a survival check.
One. There's two.
Thank God
there we go.
17.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God you have advantage. You go ahead and you see some driftwood that's probably been washed up on the shoreline for a long time. It's a lot closer to the greater mainland rather than closer to the water. You break off pieces of this driftwood. You get some pieces of moss and dry grass that's nearby, and you go to make a makeshift fire, and you actually do manage to get one going rather quickly. You bring yourself over to it, and you start to warm yourself. Do you bring Daedalus over as well, or do you leave him over by the water?
I bring him right next to it.
All right, you bring Daedalus over by the fire as well. You begin to warm yourself and begin to sort of assess your surroundings. You see right now at this point, it's probably mid to late afternoon. It's too late to leave to go back to Phandalin or to go anywhere at this point. It's probably about 6 o'clock. Your probably best bet is to make camp for the night if possible. But it's up to you, Hathron. You can leave Daedalus here. You remember that the half-elf is nowhere to be seen as well. What is on your mind? What would you like to do? Orcsbane.
Hathron would like to look around at his surroundings and see if he can notice anything that sticks out. Maybe a trail of the remainder of the clan that left. Maybe they decided not to go by the cliff top. Observed the walkway from the cliff top, see if maybe there's some stragglers there that can see him, or maybe that the elf is wandering around somewhere searching for Daedalus.
Okay, roll me a perception check.
19.
With a 19, you don't see signs of any of the orcs other than the fact that it's likely that they took the pathway to the cliff tops, which is the pathway that we took to get in there. So that would lead towards our tents, where our camp is. Other than that, you don't see any real signs of anyone or anything other than you and Daedalus out here. You don't see signs of the half-elf. The orcs, if they left, they did not come down towards the beach. They took the path to the cliff top.
Okay. That. Guess I will pop a squat by the fire and assess my damage.
Okay. Hathron, as you sort of sit down and begin to assess yourself, your damages, your wounds, you begin to sort of bandage yourself with whatever you have on. You've ripped off a piece of fur that's on your sort of, not really armor, but your attire, and you're sort of bandaging a few fingers, a few cuts that you have here and there. And as you're doing so, you see the Dragonborn begins to stir. You see a shudder to him for a second. His eyes open. And he sort of snaps up, Undertaker style. And you see him grab at the sand next to him, sort of trying to reach for land or some sort of solid surface. You hear him gasp. He looks at you. What the hell happened? Where's Alistair?
He's still at the lighthouse. We fell off a cliff.
Daedalus looks at him. You're telling me that we lived?
I sure hope so. I know I'm going to one of the hells, but I'd rather not be stuck in it with you.
You see Daedalus sort of shakes his head and he looks down at his hands and he puts one over his face and rubs his eyes with his scaled talons and looks back at you. Why? Why is it so important to you to kill them all? To the point that you are willing to kill us both, to just kill a few orcs.
That question is complicated to put into perspective. What was done to me. But I'll be happy to explain it. I'll try to summarize. Alright, let me... My mother was raped by my father when I was 10 years old. My father raided our town, strung my mother up like a slaughtered pig, left my brother burning in our home, took me to their camp, beat me, tortured me, treated me like a beast, like less than a slave. And then eventually, when he had gotten the humanity out of me, set me loose. And then one day, his witches gave him a vision of me killing him for his throne. And so in response, my father used their magic to cripple me and throw me from a cliff. I had already sworn my vengeance when I was a boy, but the timing wasn't right. But after that day, I had to get to him. I lost my memory. I have no idea where they are, and the only way to get to him is to spill enough blood so he comes out from the shadows. My hate for them is deep. There are many things that they have done that would take too long to discuss. But if you want examples, I could provide them. If not, I'm the monster he made me to be, and for that he must pay.
You see, as you were speaking, Daedalus stares. He listens intently.
as you speak about torture and things like that, and things that the orcs are capable of, you see this sort of look on his face of understanding. More than understanding, in a way. He doesn't say much, but Daedalus nods for a moment. I see. The only way to get to him is to cut your way through them to him in your mind. You have to get his attention. Daedalus looks off, you see. He looks off towards the lighthouse. Have you heard of any sign, seen any sign of Alistair?
No. I assume, though, he'd come looking for you. So it's just a waiting game now.
I thought you would have left me in the water.
I wanted to kill you.
To be truthful, I was trying to kill you. Not because I wanted to, but because you put your hands on him. You tried to hurt Alistair. And I am oath bound to him. You understand oaths, and you understand when they are broken, as do I. I broke my oath to you, the word I gave you, to keep my word to him. It's the closest thing I have to a brother, to a friend. I lost control, and I apologize for that, but I will not apologize for protecting Alistair. But I did break my word, and for that, you have my apologies.
There's no need to apologize. I'm on a fool's mission. Doing what I set out to do is not possible. I lose more of myself every time. I do feel bad about the children. But you must understand that these children are not going to become scholars and bookkeepers and shopkeepers and barmaids. They're going to become me. Even the ones that escaped today. A few years will pass, and the next thing you know, there'll be another burning village. The only way for them to change is if they're forced to. He's morally right. Alistair's not a fool. He might be a child, but he's no fool. His convictions are strong, and you're smart to follow him. Every crown needs a sword.
As you say that, we will come back to what you've just said. I mean, Daedalus is going to speak. There is a response, but we're going to get back to Alistair and his conversation with his patron, Shivarat. Alistair, Shivarat has just told you that you have many things to discuss. He looks at you for a moment. He looks you up and down. In only a moment, he's upon you. At first, he's about 15 feet away at the door. You blink, and then a moment later, he's at your side, his head sort of twirling around your body like a snake would coil around you. My, my.
Out with it.
Sorry about that, everybody. Technical difficulties. My headphones disconnected. I was talking, but nothing was said.
All good.
Connect. My bad. Clear my throat for a second. Excuse me. All these different voices are fucking killing me, having to jump from Shiverat to Daedalus to the orc guy. Oh my gosh. Shiverat coils around you and you hear him say, my, my. You've grown quite a bit since the last time that I saw you. It seems that time has been kind to you. You've grown in certain ways, but in others you are less. You don't like to use the gifts that I've given you. And it seems that you rely on others for your strength, your bravery. What happened to the bargain, the agreement? What happened to using my gifts so that you could be a great hero?
Don't play coy with me, Shiverat. You know exactly why.
The deal was one brokered by you. You proposed it. You, in your own words, boy. You said anything to be a hero like my father. You said mind, body, and soul. And that is what you paid.
I didn't say I'd pay with the lives of my family. So tell me what you want and fuck off.
I've come to let you know, Alistair, that plans are in place. A task will be given to you soon, and you will take this task, and you will carry it out. If you wish your soul to be free, you will do so. You hear those words, your soul, free. Your eyes widen for a moment. Shiverat looks at you. He nods. Yes. I've come to you with an offer. You see, there's something I need of you. I'm willing to take back the deal, since you're so hesitant. But you'll have to do something for me.
Go on.
When you see Shiverat looks at you, there's an agent that will come to you in a few days from now. They will come with the mission. It is something that I cannot tell you at the current moment. Plans are not yet in place. But the one who will come to you will stay at your side for some time until the mission is done. They will be my eyes upon you. If you complete this mission, if you do what I ask, I solemnly swear upon our contract. And he, with a swish and a flick of his sort of claw-like appendages, you see a paper out of the icy air, that this contract will be undone. But you must see it out. If you complete the mission, the contract will be undone, and your soul will be freed of this mortal coil between us.
I
Alistair looks at him, squints his eye at him for a moment, and then hears that this contract that he's made with Shivrak can be undone. Something he's sought for the last 4 years. And with a breath, he says, "I'll then wait for your contact to reach out to me, Shivrat."
He nods. "This is good. You see, it's much easier when you do what is expected of you. And by the way," he says, "my contact, when they arrive, they will appear to you as one of my kin. Your allies will not know. They will not be able to tell that they are from the underworld. He will appear mortal like the rest of you. He will join you for some time. It will be up to you to convince them how he will be of use. That I do not care. But you will recognize them when they are upon you. Know this, Alistair Darkhart. Things are in motion beyond your understanding. You, your friends, this country, this realm, it will all be so, so different soon. You and I are but pawns to a greater game. Soon you will be off the table, for better or for worse. Until then, I will see you soon." And with another swish and flick, the contract disappears, and with a blink of your eye, Shivrat is gone.
After he disappears, Alistair is going to say under his breath, "I can't wait for my rapier to take your final fucking breath."
All you hear is a laughter in the back of your mind. You feel a sense of unease, which then eventually dissipates in itself. You are alone. The gates open before you. The wind comes back and the icy air dissipates. It seems that whatever Shivrat truly wants is yet to be revealed, but a path to freedom has been opened for you. It may be a folly, but you must see, for maybe there is some truth in what he says. What do you do, Alistair?
Alistair is now going to finally leave to go look for Daedalus and Hathron.
All right. So you leave the gateway and you head down the pathway. And as you're making your way towards this, down the original pathway that we took to get to the Tower of Storms, we are going to transition, or not transition just yet, actually. Can I get you to roll me a perception check, actually? Because there is a fire going.
Actually, could I do one thing before we leave? Before he leaves?
Yeah.
Could I investigate all the leftover belongings that the orcs left behind?
You're evil.
Well, if they're not going to use it, Alistair will use it. It's not evil. They left their stuff there.
You just find hand drawings from the children of the orc guards.
Yeah. Daddy, it says.
Oh, God. Oh, I didn't roll well anyway. I rolled a 5. It's like karma.
So you do manage to find, as Parker just said, you find some drawings of the orc children, like the orc children made of their dads that are now, you know, dead because, you know, you, Hathron, and Daedalus killed them. Other than that, you find about 20 copper You find 13 silver and 4 gold.
Lit. Gracias. And then, yeah, he's going to walk down out of the gate. Perception check, you said?
Yep.
9. This is terrible, but luckily maybe there's a smokestack.
Yep. You can still see, despite... it's getting later in the day, so the fire is getting more clear, and you are walking down this pathway back to the shoreline. You can see a fire in the distance.
Alistair's going to bolt. Boom! Start running over there.
All right. So we're going to transition back to Daedalus and Hathoron for a minute. Hathoron, as you spoke about what you've been through, Daedalus looks at you. And you see him, he's sort of doing this mental math. You can see him kind of figuring out what he wants to say or how much he wants to say in the first place. I agree with you. I want to kill them. I made a similar oath a long time ago that I would kill every last one of them. Them and their ilk have taken everything from me on more than one occasion. I hate them. And I hate you because you are one of them. They do not deserve to be in this world. They are monsters. Even the children. I have seen what they are capable of, just as you have. Orcsbane. They came to my village as well. But before that, I was one of them. Not one of them, but slaves. As you so accurately predicted. I was marked by them. It is all I have ever known. Until I one day found my freedom. And then they found me again. And every impasse of my life, I find them or they find me. I would very much like to join you on this fool's mission. This crusade, however eternal it may be, I wish I could cast this sickle aside and scorch my way across every countryside in hopes to find them all, make them pay. But along the way, I realize it's better to change the world, make it better. People like you and I, we are tools. Hammers made to forge the world the way it needs to be, but there are others like Alistair. They wield the hammer. Men like us, we would rather burn the things that we do not like. Simply make it not anymore. Alistair can compromise. He can understand. He can be pragmatic. I fight for him because I believe he and I share the same vision. A world without these cruelties that happened to me, that happened to you or to him. Be it whatever they may be, this world does not have to be this way. And thanks to Alistair, I don't think I have to go on some form of crusade to do so. I will if I must, but I do agree with you, even though I drew my sickle against you and we tried to kill each other. I want you to understand that was because of my oath. Every part of me wanted to kill them. But I'm loyal, if not anything. Daedalus sort of looks out, and you see his eyes sort of widen as he finishes speaking. He points with his hand, with his golden taloned finger. And you turn your head, Hathron, and you see in the distance, you can see Alistair sort of like sprinting towards the fire, towards us down the shoreline. You see him just huffing it. This is the fastest you've ever seen this half-elf move. He is booking it towards us. And with that, we will be ending our session for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with more episodes, whether it be Tales of Lodrienth or more of Thrones. We're going to be getting back in the swing of things. We are very excited to be back in the studio recording together. And we're so very excited to be back on this journey with you guys and spending this time with everyone. As always, feel free to leave us any comments, criticisms, concerns. And feel free to share us with anyone that you know. Zach, is there anything that you need to say? Any housekeeping, anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Have some housekeeping that I'd love to get out of the way. I'd love to thank our patrons on Patreon for being great supporters. They're the reason, you know, we're able to continue to do this despite all the difficult challenges that I'm facing off camera, I guess off mic, whatever you want to call it. I wanted to give a special shout out to them. That would be Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochilone, and Anakin Gross. Thank you guys for being patrons. I love you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Melanie, and thank you, Anakin, my son. You're the bomb.com, my dude. I love you. But yeah, thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you guys for doing this with me again once more. I appreciate spending time with you guys. And we'll see you guys in the next episode of Thrones. And y'all take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.